Today on Enduring Word with David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
So you have this slave mentality that says, first, I got to consume everything I have because I don't know what tomorrow will bring. He said, I got to accumulate everything I can because I don't know what tomorrow will bring. But when you're a free person under the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you say, no, consumption and accumulation, that's out. You know what's in? Faithfulness and generosity. Because you know that what God provided for yesterday, He can provide for you tomorrow. So why not be generous with what I have?
People who are not free in the Lord tend to have a consumption mentality. When they feel that they have to provide everything for themselves and are not trusting in the Lord, they tend to consume and hoard for themselves. In today's message, Pastor David contrasts those who hoard with those who have learned to trust in the Lord. The Israelites, when they first came out of Egypt, had a consumption mentality. But when they learned to trust the Lord, they had a desire to give. So are you a consumer or a giver? Well, let's join Pastor David for today's edition of Enduring Word.
The incense altar, its poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of the burnt offering with the bronze grating, its poles, its utensils, and the laver and its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars, its sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle, the pegs of the court, and their cords, the garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. We see, it's basically an inventory list, isn't it? We need gifted artisans to make all these things. You know what I think is beautiful about this? Doesn't this look like a well-planned project? Doesn't it look like they made a careful inventory of what they need and who needs to do the work, and it's organized? And I know Moses didn't have a spreadsheet, but I bet he would have filled it out if he was in this day and age. Okay, this is the work, and this is how it needs to work out, and a good project management, and it's all being done right there. They've got it settled. We need the workers. This is what needs to be built. It's going to be a well-organized, not a haphazard kind of thing. And now, starting at verse 20, they're going to actually receive the offering for building the tabernacle. Notice this carefully. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is every man who made an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun, of blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones and these stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate and the spices and oil for the light and the anointing oil and for a sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hands of Moses, had commanded to be done. Isn't this beautiful? It's like now Moses rings the bell and he goes, okay, now's the time to give. Now's the time for you to exercise your willing hearts and to come and bring the offering. Now, I want you to notice this. Verse 20 is so powerful. It says, all the congregation of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Do you understand what that means? In other words, Moses said, okay, everybody, it's time for us to build this tabernacle. We need to receive your free will offerings. This is all the stuff that needs to be done. This is all the stuff we need to build it. Now, this is what I want you to do. Go home and think about it and then come back and bring your offering. You know what I love? He wasn't twisting their arm with some manipulative thing right then and there. He wasn't going to keep them there at the meeting until they finally coughed up enough stuff to do it. He was going to ply them whatever it is they needed to be plied with in order so that they'd loosen up their wallets or write that big check. Just go home and think about it. I'm not going to manipulate your giving. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly how it should be done in the kingdom of God. I don't think there's anything wrong with a pastor or leaders of a church to stand before God's people and to say, hey, there's a need. Now's the time to give to it. This is the vision. This is what God's calling us to do. Here's the details. We want you to give to it. But God forbid if they do it with manipulation and pressure. Because you know why? God doesn't want your manipulated giving. He wants your freely, free will giving. He wants it to be the exercise of your heart. And as nearly as we can, all the time, we endeavor to do exactly that. To say, hey, we're not here to twist arms or to manipulate or to kind of coerce you into doing something. We want it to be a thoughtful, prayerful, free will offering of your own. Don't be manipulated, but do be responsive to what God speaks to your heart. That's exactly what Moses demonstrated when he said, here it is, now go home and bring back whatever it is that the Lord puts on your heart. I love this. Moses didn't have a contest pitting one tribe against the other to see who's going to raise the most money. Tribe of Dan versus the tribe of Judah. Who's going to bring more? He didn't have like a little rocket ship going up, you know, being a measure of how much the tribes gave or this or that. No, none of that nonsense. God did the work in the hearts of the people. And look at it here. I'm going to just read to you phrases from that big long section that I just read to you. Look at the phrases I'm going to read to you now. Verse 20. Everyone came whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing. Verse 22, as many as had a willing heart. Verse 26, all the women whose hearts were stirred. Verse 29, a free will offering to the Lord. Verse 29 again, it says, whose hearts were willing. Do you get the point here? It was all willing, freely given. The idea of freedom and a lack of coercion in the offering is repeated and emphasized. Now, I will say this, and it's very important to understand. Though their hearts were willing, they didn't really know what to give or when to give until Moses said. There was nothing wrong with Moses standing up there and saying, now's the time and this is what you should bring. That's not manipulative or coercive. The willing hearts didn't know what to give or when to give until Moses instructed them. But when he told them, then their willing hearts responded. Now, verse 21, we see another theme here. Again, just some phrases through that big, long section. Verse 21, the Lord's offering, an offering of gold to the Lord, verse 22 says. Verse 24 says, the Lord's offering. Verse 29 says, a freewill offering to the Lord. Do you get the point there? Who did the offering belong to? The Lord. Didn't belong to Moses. It didn't even belong to the nation of Israel. Didn't even belong to the elders of Israel. It belonged to the Lord himself. And I'll say that it's a very important principle among God's people that that money be handled among God's people in a way that would honor God and recognize that it's the Lord's money. Then going on, I want you to notice one other great point in this section here, starting at verse 22. He says, both men and women. Verse 22 again, every man. Verse 23, every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet. Verse 24, everyone with whom was found acacia wood. Verse 25, all the women who were gifted artisans. Verse 26, all the women whose hearts were stirred with wisdom. Verse 27, the rulers brought onyx stones. You see what this is? This was everybody was part of this great giving work. It wasn't just a few people. The call just didn't go out to the tribal chieftains of Israel and say, well, you are the men of great resources. You guys just pony up and do this thing and nobody else has to worry about it. No. It was something for everybody to share in because they wanted to be able to look at that tabernacle and say, I had a part, I contribute. This was part of my free will giving unto the Lord. It wasn't just the property of a few people. And the people just simply gave what they could. You know, not everybody could give precious gems. So the ones who could give the precious gems gave them. Can you imagine the person, all they had to give was some goat's hair? That's it. I suppose just about everybody in Israel had some goat's hair. They probably had more goat's hair than they needed. They said, but here, I can bring this. I can't bring other things, but I can bring this. And I bet Moses smiled so big, so approvingly, just as Jesus smiled when the widow dropped in her mites, right? Because goat's hair, I suppose. Look, I don't know much about goat's hair. I'm just assuming that it's not a very valuable commodity. But again, they just said, here, I'll bring what I can. And it's just this beautiful, common, cooperative effort. Everybody was included. So now continuing on, verse 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and in work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach. In him, in Ahulab, the son of Asamach, of the tribe of Dan, he has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and of the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. I think this is beautiful. God points out that there were two men in particular, one named Bezalel and the other one named Aholiab. And these two men God had specifically anointed with his Holy Spirit to lead and to do the work themselves. You know, I just think it's marvelous that says that God anointed them with his Spirit to do practical work. I hope there's nobody here that labors under the misunderstanding that somehow I need the Spirit of God to do my work up here behind a pulpit. But you and your daily work, oh no, you don't need the Spirit of God to do that. You just need your own wisdom. You just need your own smarts and training and whatever it is. Can I tell you, if you're ever going to be used of God the way that God wants you to be used in your particular situation, you need the Spirit of God to do what you do. And he wants to fill you, and he wants to anoint you, and he wants to give you a divine powering to do what he's given you to do. Whether it's behind a pulpit, or whether it's behind a desk, or whether it's behind a counter, or whether it's wherever it is. This is what God has given you to do, and the Holy Spirit is so vitally interested to fill your life. You need the sense that the Spirit of God empowers you to do what you do from day to day. And maybe you had that sense at one time in your life, but now it's a time for that sense to get renewed and refreshed all over again, and for you just to say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me to do what I do. Sometimes people think, well, it's very obvious. The pastor needs the Holy Spirit to do what he does behind the pulpit. And that's definitely true. I don't deny that for a moment. But each and every one of us, for what God has called us to do in our lives, it's a holy, sacred calling unto the Lord. And we need the Holy Spirit of God to fill our life to do it. So now starting at chapter 36, verse 1, we're just going to see the coordination of the work. It says, and Bezalel and Aholiab and all the every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all the manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. All right, guys, now it's time to do the work. Are you ready? You know, do you got your shops ready, your workbenches, your saws, everything all ready to go? It's ready. And now in verse 2, they're going to ask for the offering. I wonder if Moses was nervous when it came time to ask for the offering. He looks at the blueprints and he sees the tabernacle that God wanted built. He goes, man, Lord, this is pretty ambitious. It's going to take a lot of gold, Lord. It's going to take a lot of silver. And you know what? These people were slaves in Egypt. And these people, they were slaves. And you know the mentality of a slave, isn't it? The mentality of a slave is just to hold on to things because you've had such an uncertain, insecure present and future. You say, no, I don't want to let anything out of my sight. And Moses, oh Lord, this is a slave people. I don't know what's going to happen and we're just going to make the offering, so let's do it. And now in verse 2, then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom and everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. All right, verse 2 tells us it was time to come and do the work. All the planning was over. All the preparation was over. It was now time to build that tent of the tabernacle. It's really sort of a critical time, isn't it? Oh, sure, you can put it down on paper, and that's important to have the blueprint. And you can strategize the fundraising, and that's all important into its place. But there comes a time when it's actually time to start doing the building. And now Moses is a little bit nervous. Okay, it's time to call for the offering. It's time to get to work. What's going to happen? Verse 2, everyone came whose heart was stirred. I like that. You could also translate that. Everyone whose heart was lifted up. Their heart was lifted up. It wasn't bound by earthly things, but you could say they were lifted up to a heavenly perspective. And as they were lifted up to a heavenly perspective, they looked about and they said, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? My heart is stirred. I'm going to bring an offering. I've got some gold. I've got some silver. There's some goat hair lying around the house. Let's bring it unto the Lord. And then verse 3, it's so beautiful. Did you see it there in verse 3? They continued bringing to him the freewill offering every morning. In other words, it wasn't just done in one day. Morning after morning, they kept bringing it in. I can only imagine that Moses is like, yes, Lord, yes. I'm so grateful for an offering that isn't finished just on one day, but people keep bringing it, and they keep bringing it, so much so that verse 4, this is just amazing. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from giving, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. How beautiful is that? I don't know if anything has happened since. I'm sure it has, but it's just certainly remarkable, isn't it? Okay, we're collecting money for the building fund. Come, bring your gifts. And after I said, no, stop. You've already brought more than enough. It's enough. You don't have to bring anymore. It's just so powerful in verse 5 where it says, the people bring much more than enough. This shows how blessed giving can be when it's free from human manipulation and tricks. You know, that's sort of the worst thing when someone in Christian leadership uses manipulation and coercion in enticing the people of God to give. You know what it fundamentally shows? It shows unbelief on the part of the person doing the asking. Saying, oh, Lord, I don't believe that you're big enough to work in the hearts of people just giving in a free will thing. I got to twist their arm. I got to manipulate them. I got to do something special to do it. Instead, Lord, no, I'm going to trust you. And God did a mighty and a powerful work. It's so beautiful. Willing hearts will always give enough as God blesses the work. Indeed, I love what it says right there in verse 6. The people were restrained from bringing. They were restrained. Enough. Don't bring any more. What you bring is enough. Matter of fact, it's more than enough. Again, I think you see something very beautiful here. Moses and the organizers of the work, they knew how much was enough. Isn't this a well-planned project? You see, if the project is chaotic and not planned, it's like, I don't know, let's just keep getting it because I don't know how much is enough. But when you know the project and you know how things lay, we need this much gold for this, and we need this much goat's hair for that, and we need this much silver for that. When it's all planned out, then you go, okay, we're bringing it in, we're measuring it, we're accounting it. This was very good accounting by Moses and his leadership because they knew how much was enough. And when God's people are asked to give something, they should expect that what they give to will be organized and planned and managed well to the glory of God. So you see it right there in verses 6 and 7. It says, and the people were restrained from bringing, for the material that they had was sufficient. I love it. What integrity Moses had by stopping the giving. He just said, okay, it's enough. That's really integrity. Because when people just want to give more and more, say, no, no, no. It's as if Moses said, listen, our job as a leadership isn't just to endlessly amass resources. No, it's to implement resources. And if we can't implement resources for the will of God and what God wants us to do, then we're not going to amass them anymore. But it says beautifully, it says there that they had to restrain the people. And once there, they just said, no, we're not going to amass endless resources. Stop giving. I just want you to put yourself in the sandals of an ancient Israelite. Okay, there you are. You're walking. You're bringing your offering. You got a, you know, an armful of goat's hair, and you're bringing it up there to Moses and tabernacle. And it, stop, stop. No, the directive comes right down from Moses. We don't need any more. Go back home. Now, if you're an Israelite, how do you feel about that? I suppose maybe some Israelites are like, yahoo, I get to keep my goat's hair. But you know how most of them would, I know how you would be. You'd be like, really? I gave too late? I could have given this yesterday, and this goat's hair that I have, this resource that I have, it could have been used in building that beautiful tabernacle. If I would have been more prompt, more obedient, if I would have just been quicker on the mark to do it, you could have used what I have. But now, I just got to take it home and make a rug out of this goat's hair. You see, I don't think that the Israelites who were turned away were happy about it. I think they were like filled with sorrow. No, Lord, I wanted to really be able to say that God used my participation in this to make a difference. But now they had to be disappointed to be turned away from their giving. And when their hearts and their minds were turned on to proper giving, they wanted to give. And I can imagine that they were disappointed when the offering was over and they could no longer have a share. They could no longer have a partnership in what God was doing with such a wonderful work. Friends, I see here God's work among Israel to be a very powerful thing. I want to remind yourself of something. These had been a slave people just a matter of months before. And when you're a slave person, you always concentrate on consumption and accumulation. That's what it's all about when you're a slave. Because when you're a slave, you don't really have anything for yourself. You can't just trust that, yes, there's always going to be there. It's always going to provide. So you have this slave mentality that says, first of all, I got to consume everything I have because I don't know what tomorrow will bring. He said, I got to accumulate everything I can because I don't know what tomorrow will bring. But when you're a free person under the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you say, no, consumption and accumulation, that's out. You know what's in? Faithfulness. And generosity, because you know that what God provided for yesterday, he can provide for you tomorrow. So why not be generous with what I have? My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can provide for me. I don't have to have my mind focused on consumption and accumulation. That's how slaves think, free men and free women before the Lord. Their focus is on faithfulness and generosity. Now, you know what's sad? And I genuinely mean this. This is sad. It's sad that there's some believers who honestly, when it comes to material things, they think like slaves. Their focus is still on consumption and accumulation. I just pray that God would show you the beautiful freedom, the liberty, the knowing that you have a God in heaven who cares you. And what he provided for you yesterday, he can provide for you tomorrow. And as a free man or a free woman before the Lord Jesus Christ, you no longer have to live a life under the bondage of consumption and accumulation. You can be a man or a woman who says, no, I'm going to be faithful with what God has given me, and I'm going to be generous with what God has given me. That's how a free man or a free woman lives. One more point. May I? Just one more. And it's a one more. It's not a preacher's one more, which really means about five more. I love looking through all of this and looking for ways that it speaks to us about how God is towards us. And I just look at that phrase in verse 7, indeed too much. You see that at the end of verse 7? Indeed too much. And you know what I think is beautiful about that? I say, doesn't that follow God's pattern of giving to me? Hasn't God given me indeed too much? All the grace, all the mercy, all the forgiveness, all the restoration, all the blessing that he's given to me in Jesus Christ. Indeed, it's too much. You've given me too much, Lord. It's almost as if I should be like Moses. No, stop, Lord, stop. But I'm not going to do that to the Lord. But do you see, it just speaks to me of the beautiful. It's just the nature of God to give that way to his people. To say, I've given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Friends, that's indeed too much. And so we see Israel's giving here to just be a pale imitation of the glorious, beautiful, generous giving of God to you and I. He gives to us indeed too much.
Well, that concludes the teaching portion of today's broadcast of Enduring Word with Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel of Santa Barbara. Join us next time as Pastor David continues teaching verse by verse through the book of Exodus. Again, you've been listening to Enduring Word, the teaching ministry of Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California. You can learn a great deal about Enduring Word by visiting our website. The web address is enduringword.com. That's enduringword.com. You can listen to the rest of Pastor David's messages from the book of Exodus, as well as other messages taught from God's Word right from the main menu. Simply click on Media at enduringword.com. The best place to obtain Pastor David's teaching is through the Enduring Word podcast. Log on to enduringword.com and click on the media option and then podcast. Once you subscribe, you'll always receive the latest messages from Pastor David. Again, the website for all this information is enduringword.com. So log on to enduringword.com and continue studying with us today. If you'd like to talk with someone here at the church, call us at 805-730-1400. That's 805-730-1400. Once again, you've been listening to Enduring Word with Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California, a listener-supported program. Please tune in next time as Pastor David continues teaching verse by verse through the book of Exodus. That's next time on Enduring Word.